Tiffany, let's do this thing live. Everybody out there in a world where gridiron grounds are often the dividing line between the genders, there lies a whimsical wonder, the camaraderie between women in football and the men who adore them, as long as the pigskin playbook remains unchallenged. Meet Tiffany Roderick, the game day guru who's turning the tables on the turf with a playbook in one hand and a heart full of hustle. She's on a mission to coach the curious, ensuring no woman is left a football widow when the whistle blows. So get ready to tackle the stereotypes and score some laughter in today's episode as we dive into the wonderful, delightful, amazing world of football and women and drives and dynamic dames and all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, here we go. Hey guys, welcome to A Funny Way of Looking. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we have amazing guests with us all the time. You can catch them on our website, funnywayoflooking.com. And in a couple weeks, Tiffany's going to be on the website on an article that we're going to write about her, which will be amazing. How are you doing today, Tiffany?
I'm doing fantastic, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. I love that. So hardest question that I ask everybody, every interview is, who do you want to do a shout out to?
I want to do a shout out to Miss Coco Bass Williams. Miss Coco Bass Williams is one of my students in my class, and she sent me this lovely note that said that she enjoyed my classes, and she's responsible for giving me this beautiful necklace that says, I love football, and these earrings, and just as a thank you for everything that she's learned in my class. And I just want to say, hey, Miss Coco, thank you so much.
That is awesome. I love that. Let's jump into some football. And you specifically coach women. What inspired the idea of specifically coaching women about football?
So, and I had a coworker several years ago who didn't want to go to a baseball game because she didn't know anything about baseball. And I'm the daughter of a coach. I know something about football, basketball, baseball, and I really wanted her to go. So I sat down and I said, hey, you're going to learn about baseball in these next couple of weeks. So I did something called Tiffany's Boot Camp. And she got it. And I was like, wait a minute, I think I have something here. I had some personal goals that I wanted to achieve first. But I put that in my back pocket. And I said, hey, I think I have something here. You know, I know a lot of times women are afraid to ask certain questions, and men have ownership over, or feel like they have ownership over, certain things in the sports world. And I wanted women to be in an environment where they're comfortable asking questions and learning the game. And so First and 10 was born.
I think that's awesome. My niece and my brother, they've got their he's got his cowboy hat that he shakes at the screen because he wants them to get a score. And he knows everything about the game. So does his son, everyone. I'm the one that knows nothing about football. So I'm going to learn from you today. How does coaching, like, it helps break down like any kind of perceived barriers, or what is it that the women learn from you that helps them get into the game and maybe make their significant others or other people go like, oh, wow, she knows something. What's on?
Well, I think the difference between what I do and what I've seen other people do when they're learning and teaching football is, one, I like to align football and life. You know, I think that football and life have so many things in common about reaching your goals, overcoming obstacles, and I make those alignments in my training. Outside of that, I like to let women know that there are things in life that we can relate to. Just by having a network around us, working together. And football to me is the consummate team sport. And we have to recognize that it's something that as women, we need to do more often, is work together and come together to meet a common goal.
I absolutely love what you just said about the coming together. What is it about football, I guess specifically, that you use to teach women about, I don't know, it could be business, life, football in general, what are those things that you that people learn?
Well, for just a great example is every year I have a Super Bowl class, and some people know that are familiar with football that the nickname of the Lombardi Trophy is Tiffany, ironically. Mm-hmm. And that's because Tiffany and Company creates the Lombardi Trophy. And so every year in my class, I show this picture of this little blue box. And that's something that women love. Women love Tiffany's jewelry. And it's something that we all remember. So I ask that question every year. And every year, I notice that more women remember that connection. And I'd like to take my training and say, hey, you know, I know that in the past, you've seen this game. It's so masculine. It's so rough. You've seen it be a man's game, but we're seeing more refs on the field with ponytails. We're seeing women coaches. The NFL now has 8 women coaches. So we're definitely seeing a change in the game. And I like to point out those things to women and show them they have a place.
That's awesome. By the way, do the women coach to the women refs and coaches see better than the men refs?
I think they do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
By the way, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Year? You know, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
So every year I must say it's in the Cowboys fan handbook that the Dallas Cowboys will be winning the Super Bowl. That's right. What my heart says.
They got 5 I'm sticking so to far. It. Yeah, maybe they'll pull out number 6 this year or next year or something like that. What's the long-term impact that you see coaching having on women's, like, you know, engagement with football?
You know, I think when women start to talk about football at work and utilizing it as a networking tool, you know, we still live in a male-dominated society and men hold the purse strings in corporate America. And you have that water cooler subject that you can come on a Monday morning, Tuesday morning, and discuss the weekend game. And I think women will recognize that it's something that they've been able to utilize in their life to help them get a leg up in corporate America.
Dang. You know, tell me, like, you're the daughter of a coach, but have any of the other women come up to you and said, okay, I decided to go up to the water cooler or wherever they hang out during the day, and I'm going to talk about the Eagles. And all of a sudden the men were like, what?
Yeah. You know?
Like, what's happened? Give us some stories there.
I think it happens. And you know, as you said earlier in your introduction, I'm here to break down stereotypes. I don't think a lot of women who enjoy football may not look like me. So it may be a bit of a surprise as we're having these discussions that I'm talking about defenses and defensive schemes and history. I'm a big history buff when it comes to the history of teams, especially my Dallas Cowboys. And so I think it's great to see that surprised look, but I love turning people's perceptions and letting them know, hey, you know, I know what I'm talking about here.
Absolutely. Is the conversation, do you find it's any different when men talk with women about football as opposed to the guys get together and talking football? Or does it take any time at all for them to go like, okay, she's in?
Well, I think the initial perception that I get from men is that they want to tell me about the game that I already know about. So I just stand back and I allow them to tell me about it. And then I start to engage in the conversation. It's just, you know, the initial assumption is that they know, and they may be talking to someone who doesn't know. And so, you know, it just, the conversation starts to shift once I start to tell them things that I enjoy.
I think that's awesome. My mom used to be a basketball fan, and she knew every basketball stat. And I was like, you know all this stuff. And she was amazing. like playbook, like, what's Steph doing this week? You know, and all of it. I just love all you guys that actually are into the football and know the stats and get and can explain everything. I have to ask my brother everything that's going on in the game. I have no idea. So,
and that's fantastic. That's fantastic. It's great to ask questions. People who love football love to talk about it.
What about Monday? What is it? Monday morning quarterback?
Yes. Yeah. So all the time, like I, you know, I am the biggest defender of my Cowboys. So whenever, you know, if they lose a game, no matter what the reason is, I'm always like, wait, let's look at the stats. Let's break it down. Let's find out exactly what happened. Did everybody play their part? It's a team sport. You cannot sit there and blame one person for the loss. So, so yeah, I am, you know, Monday morning or Tuesday morning, because there's a Monday game when I wake up and I see all of these things about the Dallas Cowboys. They're an easy target because they're the most popular sports franchise in the world, the most lucrative sports franchise in the world, and they're the most talked about franchise in the world. But you know what? I'm here every day, you know, to defend them.
I did not know they were the most lucrative franchise in the world. Jerry's got it going on, huh?
He does. The Cowboys are worth $9.2 billion.
Whoa. Okay.
Yes.
Not understand yeah, that. But,
yeah. So they're all lucrative franchises, though. And so this is why I defend them so much, is because, you know, even the Browns are worth $4.1 billion. That's nothing to snivel at. So they should also be held accountable, right?
Oh my God. Who's your favorite players that we could learn something from? Who do you have?
Gosh, my favorite player that's playing right now is not a Cowboy, I have to say. I think that Patrick Mahomes has such a warrior spirit, and he proved that in the AFC playoffs last year when he, you know, worked through that injury and took his team to the Super Bowl. That is, again, like when I look at things in life, and you know, I look at injuries as different obstacles that we may face every day in life that we got to work through to meet our goals. And you know, he was determined to get his team to the Super Bowl, and he did that. And he does what it takes to win, and he elevates the people around him. And I think that he's somebody to look at.
What was your thoughts about back in the day, Deflategate, with the footballs being downsized or the air out of the football?
I've always given the Patriots a bit of a side eye for that, and Bill Belichick and the great Tom Brady the side eye, because listen, you got to compete fairly, mm-hmm. and when you're not competing fairly, just like in life, you're not allowing the best people to take your team to excellence. Anybody can cheat and win. Oh. You want to know that you are the best by the nature of your work.
Okay. Is that one of the things that, like when you're talking to women about the football, is that mm-hmm. one of the things that you try and stress? It's like, it's about the game, yeah, but there's other things you can take away from it also?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because when you, I held a fantasy football training at the beginning of the year. It was live and in person in Oxnard, California. And one of the things that was so important to me was for all the women there to work together to come up with a war room and come up with their own fantasy team that we came up with together. It was important to me to do that because how hard is it, right? I mean, it was a diverse group of women, different ages, different races, people who think differently, to look at all of the players in the NFL and say, hey, we want to put this on our team. So that was just a lesson in putting our heads together, even though we have different thoughts and different mm-hmm. perspective on who's good and who's not, who has that slight edge, and who, when you look at their stats, the stats doesn't really tell the whole story. I think I want to pick that person. Uh-huh. So it's that kind of thing that I like to teach in class.
So is it stats or heart that you like look at in a player?
There's a little bit of both. I can't ignore stats. It's that analytical piece of me that's like, you know, I can give you an example. I don't know if you have the opportunity to see Monday Night Football with the Cowboys, but you know, people were making comments about Dak Prescott and his stats. And I was like, wait a minute. And, you know, some of the things that he's done, hey, you know, you can't, he threw for over 300 yards, you mm-hmm. know, and that's impressive in the NFL. So I think you got to give credit where credit is due, even though it may not have looked as if he was performing at a high level. So you yeah. really have to calm down and take a look at it and say, hey, you know, even though it may not have looked like there was some success, it was a good success when you look at the numbers.
Gotcha. Who's yeah. favorite quarterback of all time? Any team?
Hands down, my favorite quarterback of all time would have to be Tom Brady. Even okay. with the controversy, when you look at the league and what people have done and his longevity, he has found ways to win. And controversy aside, even with a different team, he was able to take them to the Super Bowl. So I definitely think talent-wise, he's achieved things that other quarterbacks haven't done. With that being said, the game has changed over the years.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, things that people were able to get away with 20, 30 years ago, they're not able to get away with as far as hitting the quarterback below the knees, things like that, because they want to protect their investment. So, but I still think that he's the greatest.
Okay. I look at quarterbacks like Staubach, right? Like he didn't make the tens of millions like people do now, but he's done so well after the game. He's got his own real estate franchise that he's running, and there's other players too. Like, what do you think about people's, they're making the millions, right? And they get mm-hmm. done, and some of them go broke, some of them do other stuff. What do you say about that? What do they need to learn?
I think you have to learn to look at other people's mistakes. Now, there was a point in time where someone coming from nothing didn't have the opportunity to see what $5 or $100 million could do, you know, and it sounds crazy, but once you pay taxes, once you pay the people who work for you, once you take all your friends to the club and buy your mama a house, you have to recognize that, you know, that money, your length of time in the league is only going to be so long. And that's, you know, everybody's not going to be an analyst afterwards and make that money afterwards. So you really have to be smart and find somebody who specializes in that. And, you know, a lot of times people will want to bring their family on, and I get it. You know, everybody wants to have their family on, but is your family member qualified to be able to look at your finances in a way that's going to help you go to that next level? So it's really looking at this point in time. I think there's been so many examples young people coming up in the game, I don't think they have a real excuse for going broke outside of, you know, outside of, I just, you know, said, hey, this is throwing caution to the wind and what happens happens. Right. But we've had so many examples of this at this point, folks should be able to know better and build their wealth.
I have to agree with that, because, you know, when I lost my last $100 million, I learned a lesson from that. So question here, you've got the mic, whatever you say, everyone's going to believe, the women are going to believe, and you're going to have this amazing following. What is it that you want to say to women out there about football so that they learn something from you today? What is it?
Ladies, I want to help you by creating experiences online and in person with you and your group. And just know that this game belongs to you. It doesn't belong to any specific group of people. Don't allow anyone to make you feel isolated, right? If you've ever overcome any obstacle in life, you can understand the concepts of football. And just remember that most of the time, what the verbiage in football is in the name. So pass interference, you know, things like that. When you're learning the definitions, it's easier than it looks. Don't be intimidated and dive right in. I can help you with that.
Absolutely. I want to learn something more about you, Tiffany. We're going to play a little game right now called This or That. I'm going to give you two choices. You can choose one or the other, but you can't choose neither or both. So that's the rules. And if you have to explain something that you know, might be controversial, we'll let you do that. So I'll give you the two choices. They'll start off super easy and get a little harder as we go. Okay. Kickoff or touchdown?
Touchdown.
Yay. By the way, where do you think the best seats are in the house for a football game? Is it in the boxes? Is it on the 50-yard line, or is it at the end zone? Where's the best seats?
Yeah, third to fifth row, 50-yard line. The box is for the bougies.
Third to first, fifth row. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
50-yard line. Okay, home game or away? Home game or away game?
Home game for sure.
Okay. Day game or night game?
Night game.
Yeah, I like night. Man, it just encapsulates you, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Now,
this one's important, so take your time on this.
Okay.
Stadium hot dog or stadium nachos?
Oh, stadium nachos all day, every day. Give me phony cheese and and hard chips.
Oh my gosh. All right. Tailgate barbecue or tailgate potluck?
Tailgate barbecue.
There's some good barbecue that comes off the back of some tailgates.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Especially over at the at Jerry's place, you know. So
yeah.
Amazing stuff going on there. How about offensive play or defensive play?
Defensive play.
Yeah.
Defense wins games, offense sells tickets.
Okay. Who's your favorite defensive player?
My favorite defensive player right now is Diggs. Trayvon Diggs, he's injured right now, but he is a future Hall of Famer,
What do you think about this? I cannot remember everyone's name because I'm not a football guy, but Taylor Swift is dating who?
Travis Kelce.
There we go. What do you think about that?
I think it's fantastic. I think it's great for the game. Taylor Swift has increased women viewers 63%. Keep them coming. Send them to me, all the Swifties out there. Hey, I got you.
All right. Oh, man. Live game or watching on TV?
Watching on TV with the right people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I like watching on TV, too. Now,
yeah.
If you've been out to Jerry's World and you see that giant screen in the middle where they're replaying every play, that's an amazing thing to watch, too. I just have to say. But I would rather be sitting in the living room screaming with everybody.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. Preseason optimism or postseason reflection?
Postseason reflection. That's when you learn.
Okay. Fantasy football or real-time stats?
Real-time stats.
Yeah. Do you have them all memorized? Are you one of the people that can just call them up, like, you know, on spur of the moment?
No, I have to write them down. You know, some things come to me, you know, something, especially the money stuff. But for the most part, I have to write them down and recall them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about historical football legends or contemporary stars?
Historical football legends.
Yeah. Who's your
favorite? They laid the foundations and they took those hard hits that folks today don't have to take. So,
telling you. Who's your favorite that comes to mind?
Tony Dorsett.
That's a good one. And
yeah.
We'll even contemplate. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Super Bowl win or undefeated season?
Super Bowl win, hands down.
Gotcha.
There's only one team that's had an undefeated season and won the Super Bowl, which is the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
Gotcha. You think the Cowboys will ever do it? Or is anyone going to do it again?
It's hard to do again. It's hard to do. That's why it hasn't been done in such a long time. I don't see anyone having an undefeated season and winning the Super Bowl. And it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Locker room prep talk or sideline coaching?
Locker room prep talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. College football or NFL?
NFL.
Yeah. Do you follow college at all?
I do follow college somewhat. I do like college. I appreciate what Dion is doing out there with the Buffaloes in Colorado. Building a team, but I don't follow it as much as I do the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah.
Playoff pressure or regular season rivalry?
Playoff pressure.
Yeah. That gets to people. That for sure. Yeah.
And you see what people are made of too.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Investing in a veteran player or nurturing a rookie?
That's a tough one. I would say nurturing a rookie.
Okay.
Yeah. And it can be difficult because you don't necessarily know what you're going to get, but the veteran has had his opportunity, and that's the cycle. That's the circle of life, so to speak, in the game.
That is very true.
Yeah.
How about commercialized sports event or grassroots community games?
Oh, definitely grassroots community games, because that creates the excitement that moves on to the commercialization. And, okay, you know, that's why you have these organizations that sponsor kids teams and things like that, because they know they want to start those young fans early.
What was the league that just happened, by the way, it's in the last 2 years, and they were playing football. It was on Monday or Tuesday nights, and they mm-hmm. had a bunch of different rules that you could play. I don't remember the name of the league. Do you?
The XFL?
Yes. What'd you think of that?
So I think it's great. And now the XFL and the USFL are merging to become a minor league to the NFL. I think that's a fantastic opportunity for college players who are not quite there yet. Uh-huh. And so I'm excited to see, and we have a couple of players on the Cowboys that came from the USFL. The kicker, I can't think of his name right now, and Kevontae Turpin, who has been a great player on special teams for the Cowboys. So they do have a lot of talent there that can go to the next level.
God, you know, I got to ask you this question, because I'm looking at some of the comments over here, and I'm seeing that Caden Meadowpack says, my fam loves Mahomes, and they are huge Bills fans. But then we've got this Dolphins fan. How do you deal with, you've got two different sides in the same home, and who gets to sit on the couch and who gets to stand up and cheer their team and everything? How do you do that, Caden? How do you do it, Tiffany?
So that could be a challenge, but you know, NFL Sunday Ticket allows people to watch every game. So you have to decide who's going to watch it on the big screen, who's going to watch it on their tablet, or how, and if you're lucky, they may not always play at the same time. That's fine. And you know what? Recently there was a young lady who was featured as, you know, being excited for the Chargers. Uh-huh. And they found a picture of her rooting for the Vikings as well. And, you know, she explained that 20 years ago she lived in Minnesota, and that's okay. Like, I can't spread my love like that, but some people can. She moved to San Diego, LA area, mm-hmm. and you know, they're in two different conferences, and it's okay. And, you know, if you like it, if you have fun with it, have a, you know, Dolphin Bills Bowl or whatever your team team is, you know what I mean? So have some fun with it, create an internal rivalry and enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't think it's gotten, our American football hasn't gotten quite to the same level of ferocity as the some of the football in the rest of the world.
Oh, yeah.
I hope don't get quite that far.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. Strict adherence to the rules or allowing for interpretive flexibility in gameplay?
Oh, I believe in strict adherence to the rules. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you might hear me yell a little bit if there is some inconsistency in the play calling in the game. if you call one game one way and another game another way, okay, well, that's not as big of a deal to me. than if you call the game the first half one way, but when the game is on the line, you call it another way. That may get me out of my seat.
Have you ever thrown things at the TV?
I do not. I am not a, I don't throw things. I do jump. I do yell. You know, I have a disclaimer, you know, most of the time I am ladylike, but I apologize in advance for football season.
All right. What's the most exciting game you've ever seen?
Gosh, the most exciting. That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. I think it has to go back. I'm trying to remember the year, but it was when the Cowboys almost went to the Super Bowl and lost the NFC Championship against the Green Bay Packers, and Dak Bryant made the catch. And they did. I'm saying he made the catch, but they didn't call it a catch. Therefore, the Cowboys did not go to the Super Bowl. But and that was an exciting game. And you know, hopefully, we get back to the NFC playoffs this year.
Yeah. Just a side note. What do you think about like the Super Bowl? Everyone like looks at the commercials and halftime. What was your favorite like halftime show ever?
My favorite halftime show ever had to have been Beyonce. She killed it. She absolutely killed it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to Usher this year. You know, I'm practicing my glide for halftime to amuse my nieces and nephews. But yeah, Beyonce absolutely killed it. And she can do no wrong in my eyes.
There we go. See, I'm going with Michael Jackson and Prince. I think both of those were actually pretty good too. Last year with Rihanna, I was like, I like her music a lot.
Yeah.
The show was okay.
Yeah. Kind of stuff.
So we'll have to have a Super Bowl halftime off sometime. Let me see. Sports is a uniting force or sports is a divisive force?
Oh, absolutely. For sports as a uniting force, 100%. Yeah.
Last one, prioritizing athletes' performance or prioritizing athletes' well-being?
Prioritizing athletes' well-being, that will impact their performance. I'm a big believer in that.
What do you think about the whole thing with concussions and trying to cut down on concussions?
Yeah, I mean, that has been the dividing thing in my heart for this game that I absolutely love, knowing what it's done to so many players. And I think that, you know, the NFL is making efforts, college teams are making efforts to make the game safer. They're teaching proper tackling methods. They're calling head-to-head contact. Just in the game on Monday, there was a call on the quarterback who slid. And when the quarterback slides, he's off limits, right? You have to be careful how you touch him. And as scary as that is, when you know that he could just take off and you don't know if he's going to run or if he's going to slide and you don't want him to get that first down, at the end of the day, it's best for the league to be able to protect their players long-term.
Yeah. What about these games? You see, everybody knows you can't do face masks, but people do it all the time thinking that they're not going to get caught. What's your opinion?
Yeah. It's a reason for that. You want to keep people safe. Right. And there is a notion that you hear people say, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And sometimes players do, their hands are so quick and they can get away with it. It's great to see it get called. And I don't think I've watched a game where there hasn't been at least one first face mask.
Yeah. It's just dirty. I mean, there's just no other thing for it. And people, I'm not into it. No face mask.
Yeah.
We need people to stay in touch with you. All the Swifties out there, get in touch with you over at footballgoddess.com. TheFootballGoddess.com for everyone who's not watching but listening. And you are over on Facebook also. At First and 10. I'm going to spell this out for everyone who's not watching. It's First, that's 1STAND, then TENLLC, First and 10 LLC. Okay. And go ahead.
Oh, no, I said thank you. I just said thank you.
Gotcha. You got your ladies only Facebook group, First and 10 Football Fan Circle. And then there's a link tree where we can find everything. For Linktree is linktr.ee/first and 10 LLC, just like before. So this has been an awesome conversation. I love what we've been talking about. So football and the Cowboys, my brother is into it. He's got me into it. And I'm glad you're pulling more women into it and coaching them and teaching them about it. It's awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your platform. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Everyone out there, you can find us on afunnywayoflooking.com. You can watch all the repeats there, learn more about our guests. We are all over the internet on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Just look for A Funny Way of Looking, all one word. And subscribe to the newsletter. It's great. You learn about who's coming up, who's been up, and you're going to see Tiffany there again also. So sign up right now while you're thinking about it. It's afunnywayoflooking.news, N-E-W-S. And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much. And goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.